Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, kids gather round. It's time for movie talk. It's Bob's Movie Club.
Something's making noise on my side.
Any second now.
Any minute. We're going to wait for it.
I love
movies. Oh, here
movies.
We go. I'm ready.
Bob's Movie Club.
Woo!
We've got some movies for you. Bob's Movie Club. Bob's Movie Club.
Movies are great.
Great.
Movies are great. And today we're talking about a great movie, a Christmas classic, written and directed by Richard Curtis, 2003's Love Actually.
Mm.
Okay, this movie is iconic, whether you like it or not.
I agree. There were a whole bunch of movies made like this right afterward.
The ensemble movie. I remember Valentine's Day.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking of.
With Taylor Swift, of course. But this movie isn't perfect. Mm-mm. It's actually kind of absurdist. Like, most of the things that happen are absolutely unbelievable.
Right.
And there's so many storylines going on that are interconnected, although not super well interconnected. But so I think the best way to talk about this is to talk about each, like, couple individually.
Okay.
And I was scrolling through TikTok, you know, looking for fun facts and stuff last night. And this one girl ranked the couples from, like, least problematic least problematic to most problematic. And I was like, I'm going to do that. So that's how we're going to go about this.
Perfect.
So there's 9 relationships. And I think, ironically, the least problematic is the 2 naked people who are in the movie.
Yes.
The porn scene.
Yes.
Yes. It's not porn, though. They're just...
They're stand-ins for actors who are going to be doing a love scene.
Exactly.
And so they can get the lighting right.
They're so respectful to each other. They're bashful. And
they are delightfully innocent.
Yes.
Like, that is a delight. If you can get past the fact that they're acting out all these, then they're naked and they're doing all these sex positions, but they're just chatting each other up. Like, it's delightful.
And then from there, I think the next least problematic and probably the most heartwarming of all of the storylines is Liam Neeson and his son, Sam. Although it's a little bit strange how they're acting right after the mom just died. I'm assuming she was sick for a long time.
Yes, they knew it was coming. I think I can't even think of her name in real life. I mean,
Emma Thompson.
I can't think of her name in the show.
Doesn't matter.
Mom.
I'm always bothered, though, by the kid who never has played drums before and all of a sudden, after
weeks. That's just absurd. It's ridiculous.
I mean, he practices really hard. Yeah, for 2 weeks.
I think he does this for 2 weeks before Christmas, and it wasn't. And I guess the band never rehearsed before that night.
Right?
They didn't already have a drummer.
I was picturing how he got the gig, like going up to the teacher and just like insisting, begging that he had to be the one to do it. Because why would they pick him otherwise?
But what I love about that particular story is you know it doesn't. It seem to be a story about a young boy who's in love with a young girl. But what it really is about the love between a stepfather and a recently orphaned kid.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's actually about that love story. Like, the two of them are, it's so touching, and you just feel like they're both suffering. He lost a mom, he lost a wife, and yet they find a way to have this other thing that brings them together in a way that it's absolutely magic.
Yeah, I love that Liam Neeson didn't give up and just like, didn't leave him in his room to be sad.
And he was like, hey, his room being sad.
We got to figure this out. Like,
right.
And they had that breakthrough together. It's so sweet.
It is.
The scene at the end while he's playing the drums is ridiculous. The nativity scene. And it's very, I feel like it's very millennial coded that like everybody needs a trophy. Everybody has to have a part in this movie. So they've got like 3 lobsters. They've got an octopus.
Yes.
Hilarious.
So good.
Any other thoughts on that storyline?
No, we've got quite a few storylines to go.
Right.
So.
Okay, my next favorite is Billy Mack.
Oh, I love the Billy Mack.
He's
one.
The best, I think the best storyline in the movie.
The love of my life is actually you.
Actually a really fat, good. Ugly guy.
Mm.
Oh my God.
The interview at the radio station.
Yes. Oh, so good.
Is one of the great moments in that movie for sure. Maybe it's because I'm on the radio, but as I'm watching that and he's just being real about his career and this record and all, and the guys in the other room going, oh God. Yeah. Just loved it.
It's great.
Loved it.
I like that whole thing because of all the media stuff. And I actually wondered to my, I didn't ever look it up, but I am, I bet those are like real TV presenters, the two guys who are sort of hosting him on the TV show. And then I wonder if those are real DJs who were playing the roles.
I don't know about the DJs, but I do believe the television presenters were.
Yeah, that's like a show that they've seen before.
Yeah.
I know, he looks familiar.
Yeah, he definitely looks familiar. Yeah. That's such a good point. It's, I mean, we talk so much about, oh, is this for PR? Is that for PR? And he's clearly out there making a case for trying to get to number one in the most ridiculous fashion ever. And at the end, when he does it and he gets naked on the screen, it's so funny.
It is. It's great.
But it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Just like the rest of this movie. And just like the next storyline, Colin, god of sex, who is British and decides the only way to get chicks is to go to Milwaukee.
And he meets like the five hottest chicks on earth.
Second favorite storyline in the movie is Colin, because he's got
And he's going, oh, pig.
I mean, I don't love how sex obsessed he is, but I do. Like, especially going to a Midwest city, if you're trying to hang out with college girls, 100% the British accent's going to get you laid. 100%. Like, it's the most realistic part of the
movie.
We're
not the richest of girls. So we all have to share one bed, and we can't even afford pajamas.
I thought that when they said the other shoe was going to drop, when they said, oh, we have a fourth roommate, I was like, oh no, she's going to be a fatty or something, because this movie is super.
It's very body shamey. Yes.
But like, no, just a fourth hot girl.
Just Shannon Elizabeth.
Right. Yeah. And then Denise Richards comes running out at the end, too.
You don't see those two until the very end. You see the back of her walking into the thing, but then he ends up with the two. Yeah. I do enjoy that storyline, because it is ridiculous, but like, good. That would be like some dude's dream.
All right.
The next up, and I can't believe that I'm ranking this so... This is Love Actually we're talking about. We're ranking the storylines from least problematic to most problematic. Okay. And right here in the middle, can't believe this is where it goes for me, but the prime minister and the quote-unquote chubby girl.
That is... I found that, as time has gone on, I've found that more and more annoying. Like, she's so beautiful.
Yes.
And I love her.
And even if she wasn't beautiful, like... The fact that they're behind closed doors discussing the size of her arse, like, I just feel like...
It's very 2003.
Somebody call HR. Let's get HR in here.
This movie is a product of its time. But I do think they're obviously joking that that's not appropriate. But today we wouldn't even make jokes about that.
No, we wouldn't. But I will say, all that aside, that is one of my two favorite three. Actually, I can't even rank them all.
I
every time they'd flick to a new one, I'd be like, oh, this one, I love this one.
That one's my third favorite.
I love Hugh Grant with the white hot passion of a thousand suns. Like, even just his acting is great. Like in the very end scene when she gets down off of him and he throws an arm around her and he just looks over at her and you just the love there.
So
like
charming.
They have great chemistry from the get go.
That's why this storyline is able to be so loved, because of his, you can tell he's a good guy.
Yeah. And he truly, he's like smitten from, it's love at first sight for him.
Right. Exactly. And it's not gross. And I think throwing in the United States president in there.
Oh my God.
Billy Bob Thornton.
So great.
Making him a gross guy actually.
Yes.
Obviously humanizes and makes you love Hugh Grant even more. I thought about the diplomat. When Hugh Grant goes up and is like, we're not going to be like, we're not friends anymore with the United States at the press conference. Obviously, that's ridiculous. But after watching The Diplomat and how carefully thought out and balanced everything is, it made it even funnier to watch.
I love that scene so much. And they're all so psyched. Now he's the most popular guy in the world. And all he had to do is say, you know, we're great, too.
And the way I thought about the Coldplay couple when they get caught kissing behind the thing. Instead of being like, oh no, and running off ashamed, you know, when they're caught kissing at the school play or whatever, they were just like, oh, let's just smile. We're not doing anything wrong. Right. I'm single, you know.
You're single.
We're here to support our families.
Right.
Okay, next up, the writer who finds out his girlfriend is cheating on him with his brother. So then he goes to the middle of nowhere to write.
He goes to France to what apparently is like a family vacation home because he seems to be opening it up. And then there's a caretaker who provides him with a house cleaner.
Yes. And she's a Portuguese woman and they can't speak a single word to each other, which is hilarious. And they somehow fall in love. Because their conversations are really great and very charming, even though they don't know what
they're
saying.
Even though
they're
both speaking completely different languages. This is it's probably, so good.
I don't think that this storyline would bother me at all because it's very cute and charming. Other than that, why do they have to get engaged at the end? They don't even know each other.
Yes. Well, back to the ridiculousness of the entire movie. Right. But I will say that is hands down my favorite thread.
Really?
I think so. I love that thread so much. I always say just in cases, you know, all the time now. Because that's what she says. That's why she learned English.
Oh,
and they both go and learn each other's language just in cases. Like, they're in love. They fall in love. I love that story.
It's Love Actually, the movie. That's
Love
Actually.
But you can't actually fall in love with someone who you don't know. Like, I think a lot of these storylines are lust and immediate attraction.
Yes.
But there's not that many that actually represent love. For example, the next one. We're talking about Love Actually, ranking all of the couples from least problematic to most problematic. And we're almost to the end here. The best friend of the guy who gets married to Keira Knightley.
Terrible.
He's basically a stalker, but in the most romantic way.
That storyline bothers me more and more every time I watch it. I'm just like, dude, it's your best friend and it's his wife. Like, and not acceptable.
Yeah, try to not be in love with her.
But nothing is acceptable.
So he does try, though. What is he supposed to do?
He's not supposed to show up and, like, profess his love. That's ridiculous and awful. And if that was my friend.
But it's such a great scene. It's fine. It's worth it.
No, I think he hides it as well as he can for so long. He doesn't even talk to her. He doesn't become friends with her because he's trying to keep that boundary.
Tamp his feelings down, right.
She catches him because she storms into his place.
She wants to get the video that he's taken at the wedding because she looks blue. The dress looks blue in all of her video.
And I think that he has this moment of like, okay, well, let me just tell her, you know, how I feel and then I'll let it go.
Enough. Enough now.
Obviously, it's ridiculous, though. Especially the card that says, and at Christmas,
you tell the truth.
This whole movie, people keep leaning on Christmas as if this is the time to confess everything.
It's the airing of the grievances.
I wasn't aware.
I wasn't either.
Okay. And of course, the most problematic, Snape and Emma Thompson.
Oh, boy. Ugh.
And I hate to blame the other woman.
Oh, that bitch.
She comes on strong.
Causes the whole thing. She comes on so strong.
Especially it's when she's dressed with devil horns at a Christmas party.
Right.
It's not Halloween, babe.
Yeah.
And that's the ugliest necklace I've ever seen that he picks out for her.
The necklace is terrible.
The necklace is terrible. I feel so, like, that one just makes my heart ache.
Yeah.
But it's almost like if Love Actually sort of shows all these different facets of love. Like, that's one of them. The end of something you felt secure about and in with someone. They've got kids. They have this kind of normal life. And she even says to him, she's pretty. Watch out for that one.
Yeah.
And he's like, is she? And I love that it's Snape, too. Rest in peace.
Are you skipping over
I accidentally skipped it.
Problematic Laura Linney.
I had that way earlier in the list. I have that at, like, number 4. Laura Linney and her brother.
It's very problematic.
I don't find that to be problematic.
The whole thing. That is Love Actually.
You don't need to pick up the phone when you got a guy back there who's, you've been, you know.
She sacrificed her whole life
for her brother.
For her brother.
She sacrificed her whole life and her happiness for her brother. I actually feel like that one's really heartbreaking.
It's so heartbreaking. And the most realistic of all of them, in my opinion, other than that, like, they never talked to each other and then all of a sudden he's hitting on her at a party.
Right.
I wonder if Snape had the same conversation with him of like, hey, this girl loves you. You should hook up with her at the Christmas party. We're all going to be doing it in dark spaces.
And we're encouraging relationships at work because that seems to be totally normal.
Yeah. The director actually says, like, obviously, he wishes there was more diversity in the film, but even in the storylines, there's 3 storylines where a white dude with brown hair has inappropriate feelings for someone who works for him.
Mm.
which is yes. insane when you're trying to show the full spectrum of love.
And that's interesting too. Like, I'm going to ponder that because that is actually, they're all kind of different facets of that. The white guy with the brown hair in love with an employee.
Yeah. Mm. I don't have time to do our fun facts, but maybe I will make a little video and share. Oh,
that'd be fun.
For everybody on our socials.
I'll come in and you can do them to me and I'll react.
Amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, thanks for volunteering.
Oh, great.
Let's do
it. Got it. All right. We're going to take a quick break. What do you got coming up, then? Oh.
We
got
to do the stars.
Okay. The stars it is.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Five. It's 5-star.
Oh, I love that.
I love that movie.
It's so ridiculous. I'm going to go 3.5.
I would say it's about a 3 for me, but I didn't watch this movie until recently for the first time, and I avoided it because I just didn't know what to make of that whole thing. It's actually a pretty great movie.
Mm.
And if you're looking for the Christmas vibe, like the way you presented that, I understand you can look at something through a lens of today and be like that and that. In reality, I think I really do get a love vibe from the movie, and it does. I feel the spirit as well. There's some negativity in there, sure,
yeah.
Absolutely.
But Christmas is all around them. That whole movie, like they're doing
it's
the
good
countdown.
Good vibes and variety, in my opinion. In there, I mean, if anything, yeah. I'd be curious. Did that movie get an editing award, or would a film critic look at that and go, "A real editor would have cut out 3 storylines"?
There was actually 4 more storylines in the script that didn't make it.
I can't believe it. I'd want to see those. Movie? That's a great fact. I feel like it should get an editing award. I think they did. This guy made an amazing movie. Like, I love the whole flow of the thing.
I'll look it up while you guys
What do you
finish.
Give it, Ben?
I
said 3.
Oh, 3. As much as like I find problems with the movie, at the end when God Only Knows comes on, I cry every time I watch that movie. I bawl at the end. That's a great movie.
What were your problematic things? I don't even care if
it doesn't really matter. It's just little things and just I have problems with people. But 4.5 stars.
Oh,
It's definitely a Christmas classic.
It is.
I'm not mad about it. Despite its problematic flaws, it's a wonderful movie.
As far as like other movies that were made in 2003, I actually feel like, okay, there's a few little things that maybe we would rethink in today's lens, but not that many. And I think it's a beautiful way to look at love from all around. Even the Joni Mitchell song, I've looked at love from both sides now.
It got accolades, but never got any editing awards.
Oh. Mm.
What? Wake up!
Thank you!
With Sarah and Vinny.
Ding, 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 ding.
Alice at 97.3.